I don't do this very often, but I felt that I needed to, and then therefore I will, because he that called me is more important to me than anything. So I'm going to preach on the forgotten prophecy. I'm going to go back and try to refresh your memory and help you. I pray that you will pray for me. I need the Holy Ghost to come by and stand by me. This is the reading of my text, Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. The forgotten prophecy. We're looking at 487 years before Jesus Christ came into this world. It was Zechariah writing this prophecy concerning him. 487 years before Christ was born, this word came from God to this man to be spoken as a prophecy, and that prophecy was written 887 years before its subject was born. It may have seemed of little importance to the people of Jerusalem that day how he should ride into Jerusalem. Nobody in Jerusalem would have probably said anything if he'd have come in on a camel or a horse or rode in a chariot or come in a carriage. But God cared. I said, but God cared. All of these words had faded in 487 years from the minds of a lot of people. In fact, probably only the scholars, the doctors of the law, had read and reread and studied. Probably the priest may have perused it, but no, to the common man, it had faded out of their mind. It was not one of the favorite texts. It was not something they were interested in. How this man would come to Jerusalem and that he would ride in, claiming to be their king, riding upon an ass, upon the colt of the foal of an ass. Many had no such knowledge of that prophecy at all. They didn't even retain it. It was gone, forever dismissed as just the writings of Zechariah. You great Bible scholars, how do you read the Bible when it comes to what God's Word is saying about your day? Have you just dismissed it also as the Old Testament and the New Testament? That it really doesn't matter to a person who lives 2015 in a busy day, in a busy time. We very seldom take any thought at all about how he will come again. Here it is, right here in our text. They had no knowledge because they had forgotten. It's so easy in our day to forget. It was not until they saw the prophecy fulfilled in front of them that they recalled it to mind. It shook them. It alarmed them. It will be written of John as he introduces this to us. Then remembered they, in John 12 and 12, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. But they didn't remember it until Jesus had ascended back and sat down on the right hand of God and sent the Holy Ghost back, and the Holy Ghost woke them up and said, you guys have forgot that you fulfill literal prophecy. They had fulfilled it and didn't even know they were part of it. The tendency, and a dangerous one, in the day and the hour in which we live to forget that God has written in this Bible prophecies that should be our alarm clock. They should be right now alarming us, but most of us will sleep through it and be captured by a future that we have been warned about simply because we have forgotten it. If men could bear prophecy in their mind, the word of God in their mind, if they could remember it, their experience they've already had with God and with prophecy, there would be very few of us ever contemplate backsliding. Our children wouldn't be out in the dark now if we had paid attention to the Word of God. And we could have tucked the Bible and said to them, see, this book said that would happen. It's hard not to understand that prophecy is intended to keep us awake when everybody else is going to sleep. There it is, right here. Churches would have revival if they just remembered one scripture. And when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. We forget it. It's forgotten most of the time. And the reason it's forgotten is that we don't want to really pay attention to what's going to happen to us. We would rather just think, it'll happen. But it will happen. And people will be caught. You see, the forgetfulness of mankind has forgot this forgotten word, this forgotten and neglected study of eschatology has caused a lot of people to neglect their soul's salvation. Neglect it. If we do really believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What would you be doing? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. We would be saying to God, cleanse me, search me, know me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me. I've got to make this. Yes, sir. Then Jesus would say to us, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. If we really believed prophecy and didn't forget it, we would know that there's an accountability before the rapture. It is not Calvinistic. It's not to everybody who says, Lord, Lord. It's not to everybody who goes to church. It's to those who have a pure heart. Clean hands. You see, Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The Greek word for slip is run out as a leaking vessel. If you ever pour water in a bucket that's got a hole in it, it won't stay full very long. It will start seeping out. The warning of God to Israel was, you have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed out for yourselves cisterns, broken cisterns. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost, stand by me. You see, a lot of us sit here tonight and we know we've got leaking vessels. You can barely remember tonight's sermon by tomorrow night. But Jesus warned you. He said the enemy will come and will steal it. He will come and steal it. So that you will just call, I can't remember nothing anymore. But you are to look at who's behind you losing the Word of God. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's an unseen spirit, a principality and power that wants you to forget. That wants you to walk carelessly, not circumspectly. There's a spirit beside you, man, that's trying to steal it out of your heart right now. Right now, you're thinking about a Big Mac and he's applauding. That's wonderful. You're thinking about what you're going to do as soon as that old preacher sits down. He said, you're right. You ought to think that. That's what you ought to be doing. You're going to go out and have fun with your friends. That's what life's about. And the Holy Ghost is saying, I would to God that you could hear the what the Spirit is saying unto the church. A leaky vessel. And then Revelation 2 and 3 says that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Jesus said to these same people who had forgotten, he said to them these words, even as a hen would gather her brood under her wings, I would have gathered you. But your visitation is over. You didn't recognize me when I rode on the hill, riding down the hill on that little colt. You didn't recognize the hosannas. You didn't see me as a king then, but now they're hid from your eyes. You'll not be part of it. You're in it. You're part of the parade that will turn from here to Calvary. You will be the part that will be led away captive. Simply because you didn't know the hour or the day of your visitation. Now, it's hid from you. Listen to me, Dryden Road, when I tell you, don't be going to sleep. The plan of prophecy was a definite plan that God made, and a decision God made to make it a purpose. You see, a faded vision causes people to get careless. A faded vision causes you to get angry with your neighbor when the commandment of God is love them as yourself. A faded vision makes you get angry with somebody and hold a grudge to keep your heart impure. A faded vision makes you dreary, makes you want to stay home and rest. When the Bible said, failing not to assemble yourself, even the more so as you see this day approach. Am I right? Then you should look, which is more important. And it comes down that clouded memory. That clouded memory that makes it so easy to yield to temptation and to go astray is from the devil. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, and as it was in the days of Lot, 2 days he drew back from history. He reached way back to the book of Genesis. Pulled 2 days up, dropped them down in front of his disciples, said, look here, boys, looky here, as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, and they done it until the day that Noah and his family entered in, and the flood came, and the flood came, and the flood came, and the flood came and took them all away. And Lot was literally dragged out of Sodom. Angels get a hold of him and dragging him out. He would have rather been in Sodom. He thought God would never visit Sodom. He thought God would never judge Sodom. That's why he put his family into jeopardy. That's why he lost his daughters to that kind of culture. He forgot that to go and walk with God, you have to be separate. Abraham lived on the mountain. God came to Abraham. But God didn't even go down to Sodom. He just sent the angels. He rained far out of heaven upon them and took them all away. Are you helping me? Forgotten prophecy is dangerous because we must remember God does not forget one of His prophecies. God does not forget one of the most minute will be minutely fulfilled. You're not helping me, are you? You see, it's strange. It's strange. This given day when we are more intelligent, who had ever thought a person with a smartphone that could Google up anything? And have you ever, in all of your Googling, have you ever asked Google, when's he coming? At least you remember that much. Google don't know. If Jesus don't know, Google don't know. Am I right? Or you'd all be Googling up saying, man, I got 15 years. Or I've got 5 hours. But you're sitting there knowing you don't know when He's coming. And you're drifting. When's the last time your heart has been in an old-fashioned, prayed-down revival? When is the last time your heart has been engaged in spiritual things? Our children are going to be lost. Our grandchildren are going to be lost. We're going to have a great casualty because we have forgotten prophecy. Did it ever make you think why all of a sudden the owner of this animal staked it out where two ways met? Did you ever think what it was that Jesus said to His disciples, go here and there, and when you get there, they're going to ask you why? Are you taking that beast and you're going to say, the master has need of him. And no man will let you have it. Because God minutely works in the little things. That man didn't know he had anything to do with prophecy. Every time he watered that little foal, every time he fed that little foal, he was having something to do with prophecy. He was raising the mule that Jesus was going to ride in on. He didn't know it. He didn't know it. He had absolutely no way of knowing it. He was part of God's plan, and he didn't even know it. If he had known it, he'll say, you don't need to take him. I will. But he just said, go on with him. His schedule was planned of God. God's scheduled to send His Son into Jerusalem riding on that little colt. He planned it through people who didn't know nothing of the plan. God is a God of precision. Can you imagine these guys pulling out their knives and cutting branches down and throwing them down? Hollering Hosanna. And before long they're going to be hollering Crucify. Taking their best coat off. Laying it down for that little donkey to walk across. Why? Because God had put it into their heart. And Jesus said, if you don't do it, these rocks will cry out. Because God will fulfill this prophecy. I'm up here in this platform tonight telling you God will fulfill prophecy. I'm up here preaching to you with my heart just wanting to jump up and down and run all around telling you God will fulfill prophecy. It will happen. It will come to pass. Oh, glory. He's a God of precision. If you want to be part of, you got to keep step with His schedule. He won't change it for you. Fall in to the drumbeat of heaven. Listen to the Holy Ghost as He speaks about the soon arrival of our Lord and Savior. Listen to Him as He tells you of the last day emergencies. You say, how? He's not speaking. I don't hear Him. Well, that's why we got this little book as a gift from God. For it's in here. I said, it's in here. You don't believe it, do you? Listen to what it says. It said, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That's future. But watch where the attention's going to be. Watch Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Watch Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost said you'll be blessed if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In order for Jerusalem to have peace, Jesus has got to come. You may not understand what you're praying for, but you're praying for the King of Peace to come and reign in righteousness. Not only that, but listen again. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. That's futuristic. They will reign from Jerusalem. He will put a temple in Jerusalem. The temple will send out a river of clean flowing water that'll make life abound. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations. There we are. That's us. Put America right under nations. Put America. Put Ohio right there underneath that word nations that come against Jerusalem. You just saw Obama cross swords with Israel. You just saw him do a very ignorant thing. Obama cannot change prophecy. The Senate cannot change prophecy. The House cannot change prophecy. The Supreme Court cannot change prophecy. If God has spoken it, it will surely come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling religious. God does not forget. God will not forget. He will have a schedule and He will keep it. Then remembered they when they saw Him riding on the ass before them. They're already part of it. But the Holy Ghost don't want them to miss it. So He pushes that little member thing and says, that's Zechariah wrote that. And here we are watching it literally happen before our eyes, and we're following Him. You'll either follow the Lamb or you'll follow the beast. You'll either be ready for His coming or you'll be caught up in the coming of the beast. I tell you what you say, Brother Benny, don't try to scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to inform you. There's two major players on the stage. One's called the Antichrist. The other is the Christ. And they will both come to preeminence. Amen. And He will come, the Lamb. The Lamb will come as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And when He gets through with the beast, there won't be anything of Him left. You say, how can you predict that? I don't. God does. I read the book. God does the work. I do it for the purification of my heart. God does it for the glory of His Son. I do it for my salvation. He does it for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to go. I don't want to mess around. Somebody said, why, you bunch of rapture-believing guys, you're so far off, you think you're right. I tell you what now, you better listen. I didn't write the book, But the author of it is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's in the church working right now, picking out those that are rapture ready. You want to sit there and argue with God about when He's going to do it? I tell you what you need to do. You need to humble yourself and repent of that attitude and say to God, I don't care what mama said or daddy said or uncle said or great uncle said. I want to believe your word, for your word is infallible. But when the prophecy are fulfilled that have been spoken for our days, some of them will be tragic because you're going to be caught in it. Be assured, everything on God's calendar will come to pass. I will either be a part on God's side, or I will be deceived. And it's strange, isn't it, that it's in our day they speak of people that's ever learning and never able to come to the truth. They talk about people who's going to be damned that love not the truth. And you got one of these in your home. Some of you have got two of them. But you never have time to study it. You read it because you're under conviction. Want to feel a little bit better. But study it and you'll be set free. For when the man, Son of Man comes, He's coming to set people free. Am I right? David, the sweet singer of Israel, lived hundreds of years before Christ came into the world. He's the writer of the Psalms. It is possible that he wrote them thinking that they were just part of his personal worship of God. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, sometimes your pen is an educated pen. And you have the tongue of a learned speaker. He was writing prophecies that would describe world-shaking events that would shape the destiny of millions. In his Psalms, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in minute detail, hundreds of years before it took place. Psalms 22, we find it written, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lot upon my vesture." Psalms 22, 16 and 18. It talks about pierced hands. That was before there was ever a Rome. Rome brought crucifixion to the world.
Yes, sir.
David's day, they stoned you. They burned you. They didn't crucify you. See that prophetic telescope focus in on a heel? See it? He's looking at a man on a cross. And this man is talking back to him. He said, they're nailing my hands. They're nailing my feet. They have beaten me till my bones stare out at me. A man wrote that. He gets down and says, I'm on a cross. They're at my feet. They're parting my garments among them and casting lots upon my vesture. But he gets better than that. He gets better than that because he holds his pen to that prophetical utterance would be made. And then he says that this is part of them. The precision. It was the custom to break the legs of those being crucified that they might die more rapidly. Roman custom. This they did to two of the crucified that had been crucified with Christ. But when they come to Jesus, He's already dead. They didn't break His legs, just like David said in the Psalms. He keepeth all His bones, and not a one of them is broken. Not a one of them. That's how precise it is. David said, not a one of them. David's words were read many times, but they watched it literally fulfilled before their eyes, and they had forgotten it. They watched him stripped. They watched the soldiers gamble. They mocked him, ridiculed him. They heard him die. And then, as the earth started shaking and the sun went out of business and blacked out, people who stood before it let it slip, and they started saying, "Surely, this was the Son of God. We have just crucified the Messiah." They had forgotten it. They were the people who held the truth of these scriptures, Jewish people. They were God's library of spiritual truth. It was all in the Old Testament, the Torah. It was all there written and held in their hands. He was crucified in their capital. He was crucified before their eyes. He died with them watching. They had forgotten it was prophesied of God. And they fulfilled the prophecy and didn't know they'd done it. How dangerous is it for you to sit there and forget? How dangerous is it that you no longer are concerned about it? You're committing soulicide. You're going to end up losing your soul. Help me, Holy Ghost. They crucified him just as the psalmist said they would. They pierced his hands and feet and gambled over his clothes. David said that as he was, he said those things. He said them under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And God is careful in small things as well as great. There's no slip up as God. Time does not erase his memory. I wonder if heaven could drop a visual aid down and show us in graphic demonstration where we was in the time of God's hourglass. Would there be still a bunch of sand at the top, or would we be watching the struggling last grains find their way into the little hole and drop in fulfillment till time will be no more? See the angel straddle, holding one hand up and saying, "Time shall be no more." And everything stops. And judgment begins. Too late to change. Too late to alter. Too late to adjust. Too late. Too late. And that's what we're fighting about. Knowing the time, it is high time that we wake out of sleep. Knowing the time, it's high time we pay attention. Bible tells you the news and the news for the next 1,000 years. The Bible tells you the news that you're reading. And it tells you the news for the next 1,000 years. There's not a newscaster that can do that. There's not a professor sitting in any chair in any university that can do that. But God sitting on that holy throne can look down and tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Right. And what's going to happen 1,000 years from now. Right. How many can say tonight, "Oh God, give me ears. Ears that hear. Don't let anything else be stole from me. Don't let the devil steal anything else from me. I can't afford to lose any more of this. I got to retain some. I got to retain. It's the armor that I wear. It's the alertness of my soul. I can't afford to lose any more of this. I got to find something somewhere that can hook my faith on and say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If you care to study this book, you need not to be caught unaware of any of God's schedule. You see, we come to our day, and I must come here, okay? Come, pick up your mental chairs and move up closer and listen to me as I talk to you just a few more minutes and take my seat. On the day of Pentecost, how many believe that Peter got anointed to preach? In all of the things that Peter could have preached, he chose Joel and the prophetic utterance of Joel. Did he not do it? You remember, don't you, the former and the latter rain? That's what he was talking about, wasn't it? He said he called it the former and the latter rain. The early church got the former rain. We got the latter rain. The latter rain started in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. And the Pentecostal revivals were going strong in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Am I right? Can you say amen? Now, I have a veteran here, Brother Lakes, who was in that Eastern campaign with Japan. He will verify. I may not have my dates exactly right, but I can tell you what happened. Look at what it says. Nobody doubts that there has been a pouring out of God's Spirit, that the gifts have been restored to the church, and that the Holy Ghost is now a recognized movement. Pentecostals are no longer looked down on it by ecclesiastical noses. We have now our place in the movements. Am I right? That brought it to pass. But Zechariah 10:1 said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. The Lord took good pleasure in giving individual help. He met needs by this outpouring. He set churches in their movements by this outpouring. But God did not leave us in dark about today's events. Joel 2:28-29. He said, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days will I pour out my spirit. And we stop there. But then verse 30 kicks in. And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Joel spoke of things that was actually going to happen preceding that second outpouring. Isn't it strange that in our day, in the 1940s, about when Pentecost was flexing its muscles, that the United States dropped a bomb called atomic? And that from that came a great fire that melted concrete, destroyed thousands of people, and the smoke came up till it reached the heavens. Isn't that phenomenal that God doesn't miss a beat? The same time we're talking in tongues, laying on hands, God's healing, saving, giving us revival, the next thing he does is drop down one verse in Joel and start fulfilling his word that these are the last days. This is the latter days. You have seen the fire. You have seen the smoke. You have felt the pressure. They went from atomic to nuclear, thermonuclear, until it is a most dangerous place to live is in our little globe. It's no longer news. They blast them off all the time now. Iran's got one. North Korea's got one. China's got one. Russia's got one. America's got one. That's enough to destroy worlds after worlds. Why don't they do it? It's because God still holds all power in his hands. You see, it leads us up to Joel 31. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. This day is yet in the future. But for those who refuse to prepare, we'll remember that it was written when it is fulfilled before their eyes. 713 years before Christ came, these words were recorded in Nahum, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. Their chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots. You couldn't spell automobile in that day. There was no such invention. The mode of transportation was chariots. He said, but in that day, the chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightning. All you got to do is go out on 75 and find you a hillside and watch them run. Go to D.C. and watch them run. Go to Chicago and watch them run. They fill every lane. They come off of the hill passing one another, jostling for position. They'll pass you just to get in front of you. And when you look in your rearview mirror, you see torches. Somebody said, you're just reaching out there pulling up something. Really? Really? Am I? Really think I am? How in the world did Nahum ever see a broad place? It took Rome paving it with cobblestone so the soldiers could march. But he's talking about broad, where chariots can jostle one another. We have anywhere from one lane, two lane, three lane, four lane, five lane, six lane roads. Don't you think it's time to wake up? Don't you think it's time to get up? Don't you think it's time to tell God, I'm sorry I ever went to sleep? I was standing in the living room of my dad. He wasn't saved. He had his television going, blaring. In 67, I believe it was, when they captured Jerusalem. I said, my God, it's later than what I think. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, how could they have compassed it if they never captured it? Now, Jesus is saying, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. For these be the day of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That all things which are written may be fulfilled, that's close to the end. Did you read that? You read it and read it and reread it and read it. Read it now. Read it now. With Jerusalem over there. With them trying to divide it. With them trying to parcel it out again. And the Jews said, you'll not do that. We will not tolerate that. But this is what Jesus said. Listen to it. That all things which are written may be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. I shall do that. It will say that there will be 2/3 of the people that will be led out in captivity. It's right here in this book of Zechariah where I got my text. And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, 2 parts therein shall be cut off and die. And the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall answer, the Lord is my God. That's the end of the chapter. For he shall reign from Jerusalem. Closing. Russia is the king of the north. China is the king of the east.
Yes, sir.
Egypt, the king of the south. The United States of Europe, the old Roman Empire. Watch, watch, and wait, and be ready. Be ready, for in the hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The danger you have is forgetting that we are the last day generation. Obey God. Don't forget God holds us accountable. It's better when things are established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses than for one man. Enough I have spoken. Enough hear my voice. I will not always be as lenient in my grace as I am now. I give to thee this time, this space, that you can repent. If you continue on in your ways, well, you have been warned. I will come suddenly. I will come, and when I do, I shall take unto me those that have separated themselves and made them ready. I have warned you. I have gave you my word. I have gave you my spirit. I have told you and warned you and readied you. Don't forget, if I do not speak to you again, I will come, and I will come quickly, and my reward is with me, saith the Lord. I shouldn't even have to make an altar call. You should already be on your feet. You should already be coming. Because it's truth whether you want to make light of it or not. It's truth whether you want to fool with it or not. It's going to be as the Lord has said. He will come quickly, and he will do it suddenly.